Former cabinet minister and veteran politician Cephas Msipa is one of the few people alive today who worked closely with both President Robert Mugabe and the late Joshua Nkomo for a long period. Msipa, one of the former senior members of the Nkomo-led ZAPU, from which ZANU-PF broke away, says Nkomo was from the start the quintessential nationalist leader respected by all and sundry. Msipa reveals that in the early 1960s, when there was talk of breaking away from ZAPU, even Mr. Mugabe, then somewhat an amateur in nationalist politics, acknowledged that Nkomo was the face of what was then known as Southern Rhodesia.
In 1960, there were people who were saying Nkomo must be replaced, and we discussed this with Mugabe. Mugabe was very faithful to Nkomo at that time, and he said to me, look, if we remove Nkomo, this country will be divided into Matabeleland and Mashonaland. He said Nkomo is the only person who can keep Zimbabwe together as a nation, the Velez and Shonas together. Yes, Nkomo was such a man.
Msipa says even after the divisions in the nationalist movement ultimately couldn't be avoided, Nkomo remained willing to work for a united front, entering into various negotiations with fellow nationalists while also trying to reason with the colonial regime on the other end. The veteran politician says Nkomo was always driven by the love of his country and the ideals of freedom, justice, and equality for all. Such qualities made Nkomo put his personal feelings aside and accept to work even with those he distrusted. In the end, that also enabled him to agree to work under Mr. Mugabe, his erstwhile junior, to forge the 1987 Unity Accord following the civil strife in the early years of independence.
He expressed his disappointment that he was working with people who were not all that honest, you know. He was worried about it. He thought some people were not being honest. He expressed his disappointment on a number of occasions to say, you see these people, what they are doing. But yes, still, for the good of the country, he was able to say, he accepted that he has to work with such people.
Nkomo at one point went public about what he was facing when he was brutalized by Mr. Mugabe, who accused him of sponsoring dissidents and cashing arms in an attempt to topple him.
I have suffered. I have worked so hard for this country before independence, during the war. I worked so hard after independence to make our independence stick. And this man today turns around and he calls me a traitor. Me, a traitor. A man who worked for this country so much. There is no insult to beat this one. I've never done anything wrong, and Robert knows it. I told you this is for personal power. Let him stand up and deny it. This is for personal power. He's frightened of my stature. He's frightened that he will not win the next election. This is what he's doing. Trying to smear me. That's very, very sly. Very dirty.
As often happens with any major decision taken by an important character in a nation's history, many people, including Nkomo's colleagues and supporters, questioned his wisdom in having PF ZAPU agree to the Unity Accord signed by the two parties in 1987, with some even accusing him of selling the party out. Dumiso Dabengwa, a former intelligence supremo of the Zimbabwe People's Revolutionary Army, or ZIPRA, the armed wing of ZAPU, admitted that he was among those who initially felt that Nkomo was wrong to sign the accord, especially under the conditions set out by Mr. Mugabe and his ZANU-PF party. But Dabengwa says he appreciated that the elder politician had the interests of the nation at heart, something he says is glaringly lacking in the current leadership of the country. Christopher Ndiweni, a former ZIPRA combatant who is now a member of Zimbabwe People First, led by former Vice President Joyce Mujuru, agrees, adding that Nkomo has to be eulogized forever for helping avert a civil war similar to that which raged for several years in Angola and Mozambique.
These people frustrated all the Zipra guys, and they made it show that these people are being chased away from the army. We even persuaded Nkomo that, Nkomo, look at what's happening now. Can we take our arms? Nkomo said, no, guys, surrender all those arms. Some other people are saying Nkomo was a sellout because Nkomo didn't want something of what happened in Angola and something that happened in Mozambique, where by the way, there was a lot of civil war, where people were a lot of people being killed. This is what exactly Nkomo was trying to avoid. That status of being celebrated, it really deserves that, because that was the founder of this liberation struggle in Zimbabwe.
Retired Brigadier General and former Ambassador Agrippa Mtambara, also now a member of Zimbabwe People First, says Nkomo deserves the respect of all Zimbabweans because of his selflessness and humility, which he says President Mugabe should have done better to emulate.
I've fought from the side of ZANU and ZANLA, but I've got so much respect for Dr. Joshua Nkomo. His humility, the man who was so powerful at one time, known as Father Zimbabwe, but he was willing to give, say, okay, for the sake of our country, for the sake of prosperity, let me support Mugabe to lead the country. That Mugabe cannot do. Even at 92, he wants to be president. No, we cannot accept that. We should learn from Dr. Joshua Nkomo the acceptance that Zimbabwe cannot only be ruled by one person. He did not intend to create a dynasty in Zimbabwe. No, he wanted every Zimbabwean to participate in the building of Zimbabwe.
During the Liberation War, ZAPA established strong links with the former Soviet Union, and as a result, Nkomo has at various times said to be a communist who wanted to help spread communism in Southern Africa, a label used to try and malign his leadership, since communism was at that time viewed by many as nothing but an unrealistic dogma. But Nkomo's son, Sibangiliswe, said his father was neither a communist in principle nor practice.
I remember at one time he was asked why he was going to Russia to find arms. His answer was, we are getting our arms from whoever would like to help us fight this evil system. If Britain is willing to give us arms, we'll accept them. One time again, there was a journalist who asked him, he said, Nkomo, after independence, are you going to be communist? Are you going to be Eastern Bloc puppet? He said, no. We're going to be ourselves. We want to be ourselves. That's what he said, and that's what he tried to do after independence. I'm sure we've all witnessed that when he was negotiating for land. Negotiated that land be distributed fairly, and that no one should be chased away because of their color from the land and so on.
Some people have pointed out that during his time in government, Nkomo failed to use his influence to bring any meaningful development to his rural home area of Kezi, its surroundings, and the Matabeleland region in general. Again, Tabengwa defends the late nationalist, saying such charges are misplaced, as Nkomo as a national leader whose outlook remained broad and not local or provincial.
Nkomo was not a constituency MP. He was a national leader, vice president of the country, not of ZAPU. And his main objective was the development of the entire country. This is why with his project, DTZ, he had that project in Vumba for coffee. We later on had a project in Wanesi Ranch, this in Maswingo. His idea was to have a DTZ project, Eswatini, Mashonaland West, a similar project, Tomato Puri project, which had started working in Norton. His concern was to develop the entire country, not just his area where he comes from.
Nkomo may be viewed in many different ways by many people, but there is no doubt that for most Zimbabweans, the late vice president remains the father figure that the nation is sorely missing amid the current hardships. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shava.